for the preparation of the coming of our Lord. Traditionally, Advent ends at the birth of Jesus. And we have built up traditions how to celebrate Advent. I remember when my children were small, I used to buy those Advent calendar. You know, there's cute little calendars with bunnies, cute birds and mouse and things like that. And then there are windows, you know. You open the windows, there may be a sticker. Maybe sometimes it's a chocolate, you know. So we kind of make a very cute image of Advent. But today, I want to paint a different picture of Advent. It is through the New Testament of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is calling for a different picture of Advent in preparation of the coming of our Lord Jesus. And it's to prepare Jesus not coming as a helpless, cute baby, but as a coming judge. This is essentially what the gospel was described John the Baptist. This is how we prepare for the coming of the Lord. You see, we all know that John the Baptist, John, we called him the Baptist because he baptized in the River Jordan. And John was mentioned at every gospel. So he was the forerunner of Jesus. And he asked in the gospel, he says, prepare for the coming of the Lord. And the message, it is a message that is not cute, but it is a message that is very serious. And today, with the remaining time I have, I want to summarize on three main points. First of all, John asks us, this is how we prepare for the coming of the Lord. Number one, we prepare by repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. John called on the people, seeing that the mighty one, the judge, is coming. So all of you, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In the gospel, the kingdom of heaven is the same as kingdom of God, because the Jewish people was so afraid, so pious about speaking the name of God. So they rather say the kingdom of heaven instead of kingdom of God. So God is coming to restore his fallen world. You know, right from the beginning of the Bible, God created heaven and earth and human beings to enjoy his good plan. But somehow sin, our pride, our sin messed it all. And God, we have a restoration plan. And that one of the key points of that plan is Jesus is coming. Jesus came. It's the first 2,000 years ago, the first time he came. This is the salvation plan in action. But this plan is also going to have the second phase. It's in the second coming of Jesus. First time he come as baby, as the Word become flesh. And the second time he come, he will come as the judge. You know, is this bring hope and joy to you? Well, it really depends on what perspective you are in. You know, for a lot of people, maybe you are living in such a comfortable life that you really don't need Jesus to come back. But for a lot of people, we just share, people who live in the third world, in the undeveloped world, maybe they will say, Lord, why I suffer such injustice and terrible condition, and Lord, please come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. So Lord, John the Baptist, the first message is, as I said, there is a definite time of Jesus coming, the second time. The world is going to end at one point. You see, a lot of the problem with this world, with people, is they never realize that there is an end to human history. The world is coming to an end at the second coming of our Lord Jesus. You know, we talk to a lot of people in Lima, and they just think that, you know, life would continue forever. They would just keep making money. And I asked one of the restaurant owner, how can I pray for you? And he says, money. And then I said, what else beside money? Money, more money. That's all. He would think that that's money is the world, is the meaning of life. But John the Baptist is saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God is near. There is a time that God's judgment is coming. So that's how we should prepare. I think it is all to us too to reflect. You know, do we live our life as if this present situation, our life, is going to continue forever? You know, you look at the injustice around us, you look at the poverty around us, and it's just something that, like what Mike said, you know, it's an opportunity for us to accumulate more and more and more. And while we ignore the suffering that is around us. So I think we all need to also repent. What would we give to God when Jesus come back? So that's the number one. And the next one is that John the Baptist is talking about judgment. And actually, in just short paragraph, there are three images of judgment. One, it says, you brood of vipers, you know, you know, just, wow, you just blare it out. And then, so it says, who want you to flee from the coming wrath? So that's one image. The second image, look at this axe, sharp axe, is at the bottom of the tree. It's going to chop down. And then third one, Jesus used as the coming Lord is going to come like a winnowing fork. You know, this is how the farmer separate the wheat and the chaff. You know, they on the threshing floor, they scoop up a whole bundle of wheat grain, and then the heavy grain fall on the earth or on the ground, and the chaff blow away. Okay. So all three is talk about judgment, talk about separation of the good and evil. And and especially for me as a pastor, when I look at this passage, John was addressing the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They are, in essence, they are the religious leaders. And that speaks particularly deep to me, you know. I hate to admit it, but in reality, someone can call me a professional Christian. You know, I get paid to study the Bible, to teach, and to pray, you know. That's my job, you know. And John the Baptist has said, you're a religious leader. You are the priests in the temple. You are the teachers of the Lord, you are the Pharisees. People respected you, and people give you gifts, and you do all these things, but you are brood of vipers. He says, do things that not just on the outside, but do it with the reality, you know. Show your fruits, you know. So I look at myself, and I, you know, this message that John proclaim is also applicable to me, you know. Am I worshiping God just out of habit, out of my line of duty? Do you come to this church because, you know, I have been doing this so many years, you know. And you think that the message, the Bible, is just speaking to the person next to you and not to you. You know, there are things that we like to point our fingers to other people. You are not with love, you are not acting in love. You are not acting in unity of the church. You are not in, you are gossiping the church, or you are jealous of other people. But how about myself? Do I, like, as I point out the mistake of other people, do I also suffer the same thing? You know. So in Luke, when people ask John the Baptist, then what should we do? Then John says, you know, for people who, if you have two tunics, you should share with those who have none, and the one who have food should do the same thing. So to produce fruit means you have to have compassion, you have to have generosity. For tax collector, ask the question, what should we do? And John said, do not collect more than you are required to do. So in other words, to show the fruit, you have to be honest, you have to be law-abiding, you know. And then to the soldiers, John says, do not extort money and do not accuse people falsely. So you not be content with your pay. So are you content? Do you have, whenever you have power, do you abuse your power? You know, today in this world, there are too many leaders who fail because when they put into the position of power, they abuse it. So I think this is equally relevant for us today. In preparation of the Lord, ask ourselves, is the judgment, when I face the Lord of judgment, the perfect judge, am I going to come out clean? So, but here John also gives us that a hope of an inner change, you know, because John said, the one who come will come with the, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, you know. Only with, through the Holy Spirit and the fire of purity, we can experience an inner life change. Whenever we have this inner life change, then we can produce the true fruit. And third, and I think, is to beware of having the spiritual appearance only, but without reality. So I have mentioned briefly that John warned the religious leaders, do not think that your root with Abraham, your genealogy with the Jewish people will save you. But John said, you have to have the reality. Like the Apostle Paul, who says, people, don't just circumcise with your flesh, but experience the circumcision of the heart. So all of us need to take John the Baptist's message to heart as we come to the Advent. You know, Advent in preparation of the Lord is not just about, you know, a harmless baby. And Advent, in the image of John at the beginning of the gospel, is calling us for impenitent repentance, calling us to know that our Lord is the judge. You see, there's so many wrong, so much wrong and injustices in this world. But we know all this will be right one day, you know. God is not going to let forsake his beautiful creation, the world. God is going to right every wrong, and the blood of the martyr will not go to waste, and God is going to come back one day. And let us all think about this in preparation of our Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you come on earth as the Word become flesh, become a helpless baby, and you grew up to complete the salvation plan of God the Father. Lord, today as we start with Advent in preparation of your coming, help us to also reflect the Advent message that is presented by John the Baptist and be reminded that you too, on the second coming, you will come to judge the world. You will come to right every wrong, and help us to look forward to this day of reckoning and to be prepared, just like how John warned the people that we too will need to prepare to face you. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for your that you not only tell us what to do, but you also give us the power through the Holy Spirit to do what is right. So we thank you. So may your grace continue to be with us, motivate us to live a life that is pleasing to you. For we pray all this in Christ Jesus' name.